you ever feel like the only thing when you feel overwhelmed is to do all you can to literally hit pause in life and walk away for just a few moments? A few days ago, I had to do exactly that. Hello again, I'm Mario, the Artisan Rogue, and you're listening to Radio 74. The modern inclinations and simple ease to stay consistently connected in this day and age can be both a blessing and a horrible weight. I'd woken to a day filled with things already somewhat planned out, and I was fairly happy with what I'd already had put together to get accomplished through the day. Now ask anyone that knows me, and they'll no doubt tell you, I don't handle change or unexpected bumps in the road very well. I can get through them, but not without some issues. 2 phone calls, 2 irritable dogs, and 2 very vocal cats, and a series of text messages all hit about the same time that very evening. I don't know exactly what the trigger was, but for the first time in quite a while, I felt that all too paralyzing feeling of panic wash over me. And before I knew it, I had no direction, no recourse to deal with a wave that was drowning me. Instead, I stood motionless for a good long while, unable to process what to do next. Now, I imagine there are people out there that when something like this happens, they can shrug it off, roll with the punches, give back as good as they got. In a phrase, pull a Captain America and utter, I can do this all day. But that was not me. I knew well enough to not let things mire me down as they were trying to do. So I went and grabbed my coat, put on my shoes, and went to grab my phone. I held it for a few minutes, staring at it, looking down at the darkened screen, my own panicked reflection looking back at me. And then I placed it back down on the charger, deciding to not encumber myself with it. I left my house even more nervous. What if I need my phone for an emergency? What if I see something I want to take a picture of? What if I miss a phone call? Why am I letting myself get this worked up about it? Why? The simple action of leaving my phone behind was giving me an extra dose of alarm that I'd not expected. You know, you read those weird articles online and you hear about all these dependency studies done on groups of people that they have these separation anxiety reactions when they forget their phones. And I would always think to myself, come on, it's a phone. I could do that no problem. It really wasn't that simple for me, but I pressed onwards and drove. Where to, I actually hadn't thought about beforehand. I just had to get away from the headspace of stress that I was in. So driving downtown towards an old employment haunt of mine, I ended up at the Nelson Atkins Museum. I parked alongside the South Lawn, got out, and immediately annoyed myself by attempting to pat the pouch that I normally carry my phone in. Right, that's at home. I walked alongside the sidewalk to get up onto the South Lawn and took the long way around, mimicking the route that I would always take whenever I did outside security rounds just months ago. And much to my surprise, I was still able to keep a brisk walk pace, and I didn't tire as I made my way down and then back up the lawn to the south stairs of the museum. You see, I used to walk on average 15 miles through the course of an overnight shift, 10 hours when I worked there. And I can honestly say that's a part of the job I don't miss. As I walked up, I passed a few people laying about on the lawn. These dark silhouettes and shapes, their faces occasionally lit by the blue glow of the cell phone screens. Over the months I worked at the museum, it wasn't unusual to see many people out and about, even in the late hours of 3 and 4 in the morning. I thought to myself, when I worked there, why would you guys do this? What person would be so inclined as to come out and want to just sit out here? And yet, here I was, doing that very same thing. The evening was really dark, even with the occasional lighting. So, it was a very isolating walk, and with every step, I felt more of that emotional load begin to shrug off of me. As I got to the stairs, the lighting around the columns and the sculptures kind of mentally warmed me up. It not only lit my way up the staircase, but almost beckoned to me, like a moth drawn to a flame, that old adage. Now, as a younger guy, I used to come up to the museum every chance I got. And then, for a few weeks over the initial COVID shutdown, I had gotten employment here. And during all that time, never once had I done what I would see so many countless others do. Just sit at the top of the stairs and lean against a column and look out across the lawn. So, I did exactly that. It was at once both oddly freeing, but also surreal. I guess it shouldn't have been, but for some reason, it was. I spent a long while watching people on the lawn lay about. A jogger ran by, and then a couple with a small, inquisitive, and bouncy little corgi, they walked by, and they were engaged in a really animated conversation and never even noticed me. I let my mind wander for a little while, urged myself to pull things back into focus and do the exercises that I had learned from my counselor about isolating whatever issues I had into these mental containers, so then they could be dealt with either immediately or later, depending on whatever I was capable of handling. At that moment, though, I realized something. You see, the rules I had been setting, the issues that had arisen this very evening, they weren't really the problems. The fact that I literally ran from the issues was not the problem. My approach and reaction to the issues was the problem. So let me explain. I've endured this before, and now no doubt will again. The rules are of my own accord. The boundaries and allocations of action are only limited by my own fears. Essentially, they're invented by them. And at that moment, and for the next hour, I would surmise, a road trip worthy prospect of ideas, solutions, regrets, and anger meandered through my head and fell out, all now forgotten, and probably for the better. Leaving my phone behind, allowing myself to breathe, to just reset when I most needed it, absolutely prevented a much worse anxiety attack. Of that, I am very sure. Finally, as the evening drew on, and all others left the lawn, I was left there by myself. It was getting cold, and maybe if I'd brought my thicker coat, I would have stayed just a while longer. But my mind was pretty clear, and whatever existential crisis I almost had, thankfully disappeared. On the way home, I didn't turn on the radio. I just listened to the sound of the road, the sounds of my truck, and the occasional click of my blinkers. When I got home, I walked in and was greeted by my furry little circus of pets. I took off my coat and walked over to check my phone. Old habits die hard. Before I picked it up, though, I saw my reflection again. I looked calmer. Heck, I even had a smirk on my face. I unlocked the screen, and wouldn't you know it, exactly no missed calls and no new messages. Nothing earth-shattering had really happened. Getting a glass of water, I went to go sit on the couch. And I felt pretty good. I thought about it for a long while, and I felt I had made some progress and some self-discovery that I could be proud of. So I spent the next few hours actually congratulating myself, you know, because insomnia. Hey, I know. But I can only deal with one flaw at a time. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. I am Mario the Artisan Rogue. If you'd like, you can leave a comment below, whether it's on Facebook, here on Podbean, wherever you happen to find this podcast, or you can email me at mario@mariomora.net. Tell me what you think about the new season, these episodes. Ask me for apologies for all past episodes that weren't so great. And if you want to know more about what I do, please go to my website and check out www.theartisanrogue.com. Until next time, take care, and thanks again.